Good morning, July 11th, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's mix includes new overdose prevention funding in Boston and two Illinois laws centered on opioid antagonists. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. Starting with news coverage, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution features Middle Georgia federal prosecutors supporting efforts to get fentanyl off the streets. In Nashville, the Tennessean reports that the Nashville Council has signed off on an opioid settlement with Publix. Internationally, Talking Drugs reports that Nigeria's new harm reduction master plan excludes reformers under the headline, "Not in the Room." That is one to watch closely if you follow how national harm reduction plans are shaped by who is and is not included. A separate national health item from Medical Express says many chronic pain patients can reduce opioid use with a slow, voluntary taper. And Fox News reports that a former top cop is warning of a loophole he says is being exploited by illicit Chinese vape companies targeting youth. Over on social media, one lived experience post from Amber Richmond on X describes what a regular day looked like while homeless on the streets of San Francisco. She writes that her priority was staying as close to the hondos as possible, and close to places she could steal from and sell it. A couple of innovation-focused posts also stood out. Action for Overdose Prevention highlighted a new JAMA Network Open study, finding that xylazine detection rose in fentanyl-positive urine drug tests while concentration declined. Their stated takeaway was not panic, but surveillance, with a call for faster local signals when the drug supply shifts. That kind of framing lines up with the need for monitoring rather than broad assumptions from a single trend line. Another post, from the University of Kentucky Center for Clinical and Translational Science, points to a new state dashboard aimed at improving transparency around opioid settlement spending. The same post says the UK CCTS informatics team partnered with Radar KY to build machine learning models to forecast overdose hotspots, describing that as foundational data infrastructure. There was also a contrasting message in the discourse stream. One opposition post on X criticized safe consumption sites and argued that calling them safe is misleading, framing them instead as approved sites and claiming they become dealer and distribution hubs. This is best understood as an example of opposition messaging around harm reduction, rather than a neutral description. In city updates, Boston announced $600,000 in new grant funding on July 8, 2026, to prevent community overdose deaths and expand access to treatment. For local providers and partners, that is a concrete funding signal tied directly to overdose prevention and treatment access. Turning to research, one community practice brief in the Journal of Public Health Management and Practice looks at challenges in a pilot naloxone distribution program for BIPOC communities in King County, Washington. A second study in Harm Reduction Journal evaluates demographic variation in no-cost naloxone distribution in North Carolina. That kind of distribution analysis can be especially useful when programs are trying to spot who is being reached and who is still missing. And a paper in the Substance Use and Addiction Journal makes the case for reimagining methadone clinics by integrating risk reduction to better address the complex realities of opioid use disorder.
On the policy front, Illinois has enacted a law on libraries and opioid antagonists. Also in Illinois, another newly enacted law addresses opioid antagonists at jail release. Taken together, those two Illinois measures point to naloxone access in both public community settings and transition points after incarceration. Now to funding opportunities that are currently open. The Health Resources and Services Administration has a Ryan White HIV/AIDS Program Part D opportunity for coordinated HIV services and access to research for women, infants, children, and youth in existing geographic service areas. The deadline is July 13, 2026, so that one is coming up very soon. SAMHSA also has a Preventing Youth Overdose opportunity covering treatment, recovery, education, awareness, and training. The deadline is July 16, 2026, and SAMHSA has a Rural Opioid Technical Assistance Center's opportunity, also due July 16, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. Finally, in activism, Housing Works is promoting advocacy action on housing and HIV policy. If that campaign is relevant to your work, it may be worth checking what actions they are asking supporters to take right now. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.